can go live.
Blog Talk Radio.
Did not go there. Hold on just a second. I'm catching up here. All right. I'll start here.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Oh my God, I'm so happy. I'm curious, did you ask the Whistler not to come back?
The who? Oh,
the
Whistler. Yeah. Yes, they were causing problems, that person was. So, yeah, they're not coming back. They won't be back for a little bit. We were talking, you know, as we normally do before the show, and time just got totally – I wasn't even paying attention to the timer anymore. And all of a sudden, your show will go live in 5 seconds. And I go, I hadn't even started, you know, my you know, little countdown video and then all that stuff. And it was like, oh, well, I better start hitting some buttons here. I didn't realize we had in 5 seconds. And, wow, that totally caught me off guard.
It snuck up on you, yeah.
I sure did.
Say something too, and I didn't even notice it. I'm sitting here talking, and you know, not paying any attention
really
to the timer.
Yeah.
Well, we usually have more to talk. We got on late, you know. Our internal clock was off.
It was way off. Well, and their clock is, according to their backwards. Like the on-air clock in the corner. Yeah, we should be off air by now, but I was just looking.
it's crazy.
On air, your show is now overtime. Yeah, but I wasn't even paying attention. You were, you know, we were talking back and forth, and I was just, you know, listening, and all of a sudden, your show will go live in 5 seconds. No, it won't.
No, I'm not ready. Don't you hear me?
Gosh.
She doesn't care either. Yeah. The little girl that hits that button doesn't care. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She does not care.
Not at all.
Then I had to find the right browser with everything on it. And so here we are. Welcome to the show.
Here we are.
It is September 8th, 2022, at 7:04 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to chat, please do so. You can chat with us on our Facebook page, wherever you see this live video going. You can chat with us there. You can chat with us on YouTube. And I don't know if Mixcloud, I think Mixcloud comes over here. But we're also on Mixcloud live as well. So
I think we're on Apple Podcasts too, live.
Yeah. That's through something else. I don't have them plugged in, but they do get it. So, and a couple others that we don't know about either. So
that's true.
So it's a surprise. Always a surprise. But here we are. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, definitely. We have to start out on a sad, sad note.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Elizabeth died today.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Got the news earlier.
A grand lady. I mean, you know, and from what everybody says and everything I've ever read about her, she was, you know, really was a grand lady who was very humble and was just a good person all the way around. So we give our condolences and everything to the people of England and all the families of Queen Elizabeth and all that. So who takes over now? Is that going to be Charles?
Yes, Charles is next in line. And I had a photo somewhere that showed I forgot where I got it from, but it had all of the, you know, the, I guess the top down, and he was, he's first in line. Well, yeah, he would be King Charles, and then Prince William, the Duke of Cambridge, and then Prince George of Cambridge. Princess Charlotte is number three or four. Prince Louis of Cambridge. Everybody's from Cambridge. That must be the, is that
yeah,
the royal family?
That's, well, that's
born,
right? That's the oldest
then,
son and the children.
Oh. And then coming in at number five, Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex. That's right. And finally at number six, our top six guests now, Master Archie.
The oldest boy, the little like boy. But that, yeah.
Master
if,
Archie,
if it gets down
like
to six people, he would take over. Yeah. It has,
as an infant?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It has happened in, you know, monarchies throughout the ages. Yeah. There's been, you know, the Roman Empire. They've had kings that were, you know, 8, 9 years old and stuff like that. Or emperors or whatever, 8, 9 years old. Yeah. It's, age makes no difference. It's the lineage that counts. So,
Okay.
So, the queen is dead, long live the king.
As the saying goes.
So, but, our condolences to everybody over in England for the loss of your queen. Got news, just stuff for you tonight. In fact, I was telling Mike before the show, what we're going to do is I was thumbing through some old, well, actually, I was purging a lot of some old articles and old things that I don't need anymore. I don't know why I save them. I'm just a hoarder, I guess. But I was going through my stuff, and I saw some stuff I thought was interesting that we haven't talked about. Just bits and pieces. I mean, not something any long. I do have one long thing I'm going to talk about at the beginning here. But most everything else is going to be snippets, if you will. The long thing I'm going to talk about is, let me find it here. Okay, here it is. Ron Rubin Winery. I get their e-letter every week, I believe it is. It comes in. I get their e-letter every week. And the e-letter, it tells what's happening at the winery. Actually, it's written by the winemaker, Ed, what's Ed's last name? I don't know. Oh, come on, Cursor. Ed, I don't know. Ed is the winemaker there at Ron Rubin, and he always is very interesting. He comes out with different stuff that's going on. He has pictures along with it. If you don't have the email, you can sign up for it. And it's really, really quite interesting. This came in under orders, O-R-D-E-R-S, orders at ronrubinwinery.com, R-O-N-R-U-B-I-N, rubinwinery.com. Or you can go to that and I'm sure sign up for the e-letter through that. But it is really interesting. It, he talks about when the harvest was, he talks about temperatures there, they have pictures of stuff and everything else. But the reason I might end up reading more of this than I want to, but to be sure I cover everything, I might just go ahead and read it to you. He turned this over to his assistant winemaker, a young man by the name of William Thiersch, T-H-I-E-R-S-C-H, Thiersch. And William, I guess goes by William, has been working on sustainability certifications. And Wine Rubin Winery is big on sustainability and organic and all that other stuff. But let me read you this here about what they just got certified in, and then we'll talk about what it is a little bit more. It says, hi, everyone. My name is William Tears, assistant winemaker at Ron Rubin Winery. While I primarily work in production at the winery, I also help update and maintain all current sustainability certifications. I am happy to announce that as of August 5th, Ron Rubin Winery has officially became a B Corp certified company. Exclamation point, so he's proud of it. Says, now, what does this mean and how do B Corps distinguish themselves from other companies? And he shows the logo and all that. B Corps are mission-driven companies that balance purpose and profit. B Corps are for-profit companies that meet the highest standards of social and environmental performance, transparency, and accountability. Certified B Corps are leaders in the global movement for an inclusive, equitable, and regenerative economy. Unlike other certifications for businesses, a B Corp certification is unique in its ability to measure a company's entire social and environmental impact. Over the last year and a half, we have gone through the process of reporting much about Ron Rubin Winery to B Lab about our impact on our winery structure, workers, community, and environment. Each of these aspects of the winery is looked under a microscope by B-Lab to ensure that Ron Rubin Winery is held to the highest standard possible. This process is called the B-Impact Assessment, and it is how B-Lab measures the impact of companies in each of these specific areas and assesses where we are excelling or possibly need improvement. B-Lab looks at everything from ownership, stakeholders, mission statements, and financial information on the company. This is done to evaluate the ability of the company to protect their mission and formally consider all stakeholders in the decision-making process through company structure or governing documents. Next, B-Lab has reviewed how the winery manages its employees and assesses how the winery approaches their financial security, health, wellness, safety, career development, and overall engagement and satisfaction. This part of the process is meant to recognize business models that are designed around benefiting the employees by treating them with respect, providing them with job security, and allowing for growth within the winery. After this, B-Lab looks at how the winery impacts the community around us and how connected we are with our community. This part of the process assesses the diversity and inclusion in our workforce and the economic impact we have on the community around us, like the use of local suppliers and employees hired from the local areas, and civil engagement, including donations made by the winery to local nonprofit organizations. And the next step in the process is measuring the impact that we have on the environment and what we are doing to reduce this impact. This section of our assessment looks at many different areas of our operation, including total energy use at our winery, along with monitoring our greenhouse gas emissions and carbon intensity, water use at the winery, along with tracking of water use and water reduction methods, the winery's recycling programs, and our pest management practices, along with the monitoring of biodiversity on the property. The best part about all this, you don't have to just take my word for it. Anyone can go into the B Corp website, look at our B Impact score to see how we impact the world around us. One of the core ideals of being a B Corp is being transparent with everyone about our business. Each year, the winery will foster the idea of continuous improvement and strive to improve our assessment score with each recertification. We will push to make our communities and environment a better place. In everything we do at our winery and beyond, we believe in caring for the planet and the people who call it home. It's a commitment that benefits our employees, our visitors, our business partners, and the community at large. B Corp. Now, Mike, you're going to have to help me on this a little bit because I was trying to think of it. What was that certification that one winery was talking about that basically did the same thing as all this? I can't remember the certification, and I was racking my brain today trying to come up with it.
It wasn't SIP, was it?
It might have been. It might have been SIP, yeah.
I forgot SIP. Let me go back down here. Sustainability and practice. Farmers might do this dedication. Yeah, I was looking up SIP certification while you were talking there. I thought maybe that was it. People, planet, prosperity. What I was
thinking. I think it might have been
a guest talking about it. Okay. We had a guest talking about that being certified and all that. So that's what I thought.
Yeah, I think it was SIP, you know, since you mentioned it. And it sounds exactly like B certified, B Lab. The same thing. So I looked up B Corporation certification. Wikipedia, I felt, was the best description of what it actually is, although there's different things on there. Harvard Business Services also has an explanation of it and all that, but Wikipedia pretty much breaks it down, I think, better than anyone else. And it says, in business, B Corporation, also known as B Lab or B Corp, is a private certification of for-profit companies. And it is distinct from the legal designation as a benefit corporation. And it says B Corp, or B Lab, a global nonprofit organization. Now, the B Lab is nonprofit, but they certify. They have offices in the United States, Europe, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, and a partnership in Latin America with Sistema, S-I-S-T-E-M-A, Sistema B, to be granted and maintained certification. Companies must receive a minimum score of 80 from an assessment of all the stuff William just told us about. And it says it integrates everything that it does and all that. As of July 2022, there are 5,325 certified B corporations across 156 industries in 83 countries. And, you know, I mean, I thought, wow, why have we not heard about this? The purpose of the certification is requiring companies to meet social sustainability and environmental performance standards and meet all sorts of stuff and all that. An issue in deciding to be a certified B Corporation would be the administrative and legal cost a corporation will face in changing their business model in accordance to B Lab's regulations. And here's a good point. As a matter of law, in Massachusetts or states that recognize B Corp certification, it doesn't bring any legal significance to its shareholders, stockholders, or to the employees. So, legally, nothing can be done. It's just a certification. Okay, it goes on here. Lists some advantages of certified. Point, similar to other business associations, certified B corporations and their employees have access to a number of discounts from outside entities and fellow members. Oh, well, that's cool. Point, academic contributions of loan forgiveness. That's cool. Point, a branding tool. We are B Corp certified. And no legal liability. If you use the B Corp notification, you're not legally liable for anything that B Corp does or anybody that's associated with it. The disadvantages they list are B Lab certification has no legal status. And another last one, in order to obtain and maintain a B Corporation certification, B Lab charges annual administrative and legal fees depending on the revenue generated by the respective companies. And since you opened up all of your books to them and you opened up everything that you do to them, they know how much you make. So they figure how much you owe them based on the revenue generated. So they know without, you know, you're not going to say, no, I didn't make. They say, yeah, here, that's right here, right here. Oh, and the distinction from benefit corporation. Benefit corporation is a legal status conferred by state law in the U.S. B Lab certification is issued by a nonprofit organization and has no legislative framework. Point, B Lab certification is not needed to obtain benefit corporation status. And point, USA only legislation for the passage of this corporate legal status has been passed in 35 states, including Delaware, whereas B Lab certification is privately issued by an organization run by people principally issued from the business community. So, you know, it goes on to other things in Wikipedia. Like I say, it's a pretty long article. I'm not going to go through all this. But it is, non-certified, not anything. I mean, it's just it's cool to have it, but it, you know, you're opening your books up to these people and all that. And I don't know, most people I don't think know about it. In February 2022, there were over 4,673 certified B Corp across the company, across the world. And she's in 155 entries in 78 countries. That was updated on February 2022. That's, you know, 6 months ago. Including Canada with 78 countries, our companies, Australia, South Africa, Afghanistan, and outside the United States is Sistema B, and that's in Latin America, and Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Uruguay, Colombia. So it's all over the place. They have a list of some of the businesses. Saxby's Coffee is a part of it. The Seventh Generation Inc. The Body Shop. Let's see. Allbirds, Ben and Jerry's. A lot of these. Rude Records. I've heard of them before. Nespresso is a B Corp certified. Sorry, B Lab. So, I don't know. I'm not impressed, but I didn't say that. Good for them. I'm glad that Ron Rubin is excited about it. I'm glad they got certified, and that's great. I think, like you said, Bill Mike, there's others out there, and I don't know if it's SIP is one, but there's quite a few others out there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah, I was looking.
Let's see, does it say, let me type in, see if I can find anything. Nope, I'm not going to be able to. SIP Wine Bar. SIP certification. Let's see if we can. Okay, SIP certified is sustainable vineyards, wineries, and wines. It's not for everybody in the corporate world. It's just wineries and wines. Okay, so that is the difference there. SIP certified is a rigorous sustainable vineyard, winery, and wine certification with strict non-negotiable standards based on science and expert input, independent verification, transparency, and absence of conflict of interest. Okay. Huh, okay. So, it sounds like the same thing, really. I mean, you know, it's B Corp, to me, sounds like the same thing as SIP, only SIP is exclusive for vineyards, wineries, and wines, whereas B Corp is for everything. And it makes me wonder if Ron Rubin is SIP certified. I mean, if they can be B Corp certified, surely they can make it SIP certified. Or then the question arises, of course, maybe SIP certification is a little bit tougher and they can make it in B Corp, but they can't do it as a winery in SIP. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Don't quote me on that. I have no idea. So there you go. I wanted to let you know about that, that new certification. If you see B Corp on anything, then you know what that is now. It looks like they might be one of the first wineries that are hooking up with that B Corp, though. Again, I think the SIP certification would be better suited, but who am I to say? Who am I to say? Okay. Last week, we started to talk about different wines. I was giving you a little review on different wines. And I'm going to do it again this week. Finish up, actually. We got almost done with it last week, and it was time to let you go, and so I did, and now I can't pick up this piece of paper. Now I'm going to finish up talking about the just a few wines and grapes and stuff here. Merlot. The T is silent, pronounced Merlot. Excuse me. The word Merlot translates to little blackbird in French. Probably due to the blue-black color of the grape, and so therefore it's the Merlot grape is little blackbird. In the storied French region of Bordeaux, Merlot is blended with Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Malbec to create the fantastic Bordeaux wines, the long-lived, long-aging, fantastic Bordeaux wines. So it's a blend there. The region uses all those grapes. Oldest recorded mention of Merlot dates to 1784, and it can be traced to a local official in the region of Bordeaux. We're back to Bordeaux again. And he called it a Merlot. Often Merlot is the main ingredient in the so-called Super Tuscan wines of Italy, where it is commonly blended with local grape Sangiovese. So Merlot gets around as a premium grape. The Merlot grape is one of the most planted in the world. In the United States, you can find it in Long Island, California, Washington, and about two dozen other states. And you can find it in other countries, Australia, Chile, China, France, India, Italy, Japan, South Africa, and Spain. It's all over the place. It's a thin-skinned and sensitive grape. Merlot is often susceptible to rot in cooler climates, and it's therefore harder to grow than the Cabernet Sauvignon. So, and they didn't compare it to Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir is supposed to be one of the hardest to grow. Merlot is the offspring of the grapes Cabernet Franc and Magdalene Noir de Charentos. Magdalene Noir de Charentos. That's the parents. Cabernet Franc. Cabernet Franc is a Flander. It's a parent of Cabernet Sauvignon, too. One of the United States' first successful cult wines was the playfully titled Marilyn Merlot, which is, features images of the actress Marilyn Monroe on the label. And it was very popular. That, I remember when that came out. That wasn't before my lifetime. Merlot goes by several other names in different parts of the world, including Petit Merle, M-E-R-L-E, Crabutet, C-R-A-B-U-T-E-T, Crabutet Noir, Plant Medoc, Merlot Rouge, Vitrail, and Vigny, all Merlots. It, because the Merlot is less tannic than many other red grapes, such as Cabernet, is one of the most food-friendly and drinkable wines. Look for flavors of plum, blueberry, chocolate, and even dried tobacco. You will find that tobacco aroma and taste in that, aroma, not so much taste of the tobacco in Merlots. Merlots can be paired with rustic red meat, such as steak and lamb, but given its fruitiness, it matches well with a wide variety of meals, including duck with cherries, which gives that cherries in the Merlot ages are pairs well. Also with dry aged cheeses, it goes very well. Chateau Pitres, a Bordeaux wine that typically fetches thousands of dollars per bottle, is made from 100% Merlot, and that's in southwest France. So Chateau Pitres. Merlot is best served around the temperature of 60 to 65 degrees. It should be enjoyed in a typical Bordeaux glass, which tends to be taller than the average red wine glass with a little bit broader bowl. Or, you know, you can get the bigger bowl, and works well too. Body, medium to medium heavy. Serve it at 68 degrees. And look for a bright purple-red color on the Bordeaux. Let's see. Typically 12 to 14% alcohol. That would be your alcohol range of most Bordeaux. If it smells and tastes of ripe red cherries, you're probably smelling a Merlot. Sometimes you're going to pick up flavors of plum and chocolate, and it's going to have a soft mouthfeel. And it, like I said, is very food friendly. The finish is going to be soft and fruity with some mild tannins. So, aging potential. Wines from the best producers and vintages, especially from France, may age gracefully for many years. Otherwise, drink it within 5 years. So, there you go. That's Merlot. And next one, Chianti. That's not a grape. That is a region, but they say varietal is predominantly Sangiovese. Body, mostly light to medium. Chianti, the pronunciation. Serving temperature, 61 to 64 degrees. Going to get a tangy, vibrant, acidic finish on a Chianti. Red wine glass, what you use. Color is going to be a simmery ruby red. Flavors and aromas are going to be in your cherry, plum, and raspberry range. Alcohol is usually 12.5% to 13.5%. Tuscany, Italy, is the growing region. And it pairs well with, guess what? Pasta and pizza. And red sauce, of course, not your white sauce pizzas. And let's see, the next one we have here is a Pinot Gris. Pinot Gris, aging potential, young. Don't try to age a Pinot Gris. Just drink. That's G-R-I-S, Gris. Those grape stars in Pinot Grigio. Ventures label their wines Pinot Gris often are signaling a more rounded and fruity expression of the grape. So you're going to get a little bit more everything if you see it Pinot Gris labeled as opposed to Pinot Grigio. Prominent regions of growing, U.S. and particularly Oregon, very popular. Flavors and aromas, look for apple, pear, melon, citrus, almonds, floral notes, and spice. Originally from Alsace, France, it pairs well with seafood, pork, poultry, and semi-soft cheeses. Get anything too heavy, it's going to overpower the wine, and you can have a glass of water and get the same results. Serving temperature, 45 to 50 degrees. Alcohol, generally 12.5% to 14.5%. Color is usually deep gold to yellow, sometimes with a whisper of pale pink. And you will see that in some of them. I've had some Pinot Gris that were medium body to full. And it has a, as they see here, lively yet graceful finish. You can make of that what you will. When you drink yourself a Pinot Gris and think, is this a lively to graceful finish? Malbec, our last one here on grapes. Malbec, M-A-L-B-E-C, is pronounced Malbec. Serve that at 60 to 65 degrees. Body, medium to full with firm, friendly tannins. Aging potential, enjoy most Argentine Malbecs upon release. Those from Coehorse may have the greatest potential for aging. And they mentioned Argentina. Argentina makes some great, great Malbecs. By all means, to check that out if you're going to get a Malbec. Flavor and aroma, red fruit on the nose, dark fruit on the palate with hints of chocolate, earth, and toasty oak. Your alcohol level is going to range between 13.5% and 14.5%, typically. Color, deep, dark, inky purple. A Malbec wine has this beautiful dark color. It's just always nice to just look at the color. Prominent growing region, Mendoza in Argentina and Cahors in France. The finish is going to range from long and ripe to a spicy and bright finish. Bright, clean. Pull out your grilled beef, meaty stews, heavy pizzas, and burgers, and have it with your Malbec. Originally from Bordeaux in the Loire Valley, and it is usually reasonably priced, too, if you're looking for a Malbec. You can usually find one that is reasonably priced. Okay, before I go any further, latest issue of Wine Spectator came out. Mike, you get yours?
Yeah, I just, the one with Chianti Classico?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I have good I just got it, it was today, and I haven't looked through it yet. I just, oh, wow, it's upside down on the other side. Well, dead again.
Yeah, it is. They do the whiskey advocate on one side. It fooled me too at the beginning. Yeah.
One page and the rest is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got it.
Speaking of whiskey, Whiskey Advocate Whiskey Fest is coming up in San Francisco on October 28th and New York on November 3rd and Las Vegas in December the 2nd. So if you, I know you're listening to All About Wines, but if you're into whiskeys, they have a whiskey fest working its way around the country, just like a wine fest. Taste of some outstanding whiskeys they'll pour. They have a whole, almost a whole page of them here, of all sorts of different whiskeys. Let's see. A lot of names you know, a lot of names you don't know, but it's whiskeys from, a lot of them from New York. Why is it San Francisco? That can't be. That just seems strange. Why do they have SF and New York on that? Oh, these are the ones going to be poured at those two areas. Oh, that's what they're doing. They just list them. And if they're not being poured in Las Vegas, they have it here. But when I say whiskey, it's everything. They got rums, they got tequilas, they got Buffalo Trace was one of them at Heaven Hill. All sorts of different whiskeys here. So if you're into it, don't know cost, don't know anything, San Francisco, October 28th, New York City, November 3rd, and Las Vegas, Nevada, December the 2nd. And then the 41st Annual New York Wine Experience is coming up. Now, this is always a big one. It's always has a lot of people. But it says here, weekend reservations are sold out. This is October the 20th to the 22nd. That's the same date as the whiskey, isn't it? No, October 28th is whiskey. October 20th, 27th. If you have this in New York, then jump on a plane and fly out to San Francisco and do your whiskey the next weekend. But they have some exceptional wines that they're doing at this. Some exceptional wines. Whatever it costs, it's going to be just a worth it. I mean, you know, to be able to taste some of the wines that they're pouring. And they also have a lot of big name chefs, and they've got champagne people and all sorts of stuff. Big event. October 20th, Thursday, October 21st, Friday. General admission tickets from 8 to 10. And the registration for weekend is up. The Critics' Choice Grand Tasting is Thursday and Friday, October 20th and 21st. Over 200 wines rated at 90 plus, which is really, really good. So you need to, if you are in New York or if you are really looking at being able to taste a lot of good wines at a fairly reasonable price, then this is a great thing to attend. You have to pace yourself, though. If you don't pace yourself, then you won't make it around to as many as you want to try. A month ago, we had on a panel of smokers, cigar smokers. They enjoyed being on the show. And in fact, I talk to them quite often, and they're always mentioned the show and how much fun it was. But the reason I bring that up is coming up in November the 11th and 12th this year, Resorts World in Las Vegas is having Big Smoke Las Vegas. And they're advertising 25 plus handmade cigars. Meet renowned cigar makers from your favorite brands. Enjoy premium spirits and beer. Attend fascinating cigar-related seminars. Smoke with your friends and other cigar lovers. So it says seminar packages. Make it a cigar package weekend with a weekend or all-access package. That is sold out. Big Smoke Evenings. This can't miss event of the weekend is where you collect 25 plus handmade cigars, samples, an exciting selection of premium spirits, and if you choose the VIP, it's an extra hour of fun. That costs the VIP $450. The general admission is $350. But if you're getting 25 plus cigars, then, you know, that's, you know, you figured out $12 a cigar, something like that, for a premium cigar. That's about average. And so, therefore, it's worth it. You can walk away with some great smoke. So if you're into cigars, this is a great event. You can buy tickets at LasVegasBigSmoke.com. So that's coming up. Excuse me. Also, on this issue, if you get Wine Spectator, it's always full of information. I think Wine Spectator is the better of the ones out there. There's Wine Enthusiast, Wine Spectator, and Decanter. I guess Decanter is still being published. Decanter is out of England. And so, as far as I know, Decanter is still being published. I haven't seen it or heard about it being advertised or anything. And usually when you subscribe to something like Wine Enthusiast, you get, you know, things from other wine magazines when you subscribe to them. And I have not seen anything from Decanter. So I don't know. Maybe they're not out there. But in this issue of Wine Spectator, there's a great article toward the back of the magazine, page 79, if you're reading along with us at home. It says, "The Amazing Race for Values." And it's a journey to find great bargains across the Southern Hemisphere. And this is really a good article. I was reading through this before we got on the air. And it lists Chile and wines, nothing more expensive than $20. And Argentina, again, $24 is most expensive. Most of them are cheaper than that. And, oh, wait a minute. Chile's got a $27 one there. New Zealand, wines listed there. Also Australia, they got a few listed. South Africa, they've got some listed. So if you have this issue, check out that. It's a great guide to some inexpensive wines from south of the equator. All right, so the latest issue of County Classical. Information, bits and pieces. I'm just going to, oh boy, we only got about 10, 15 minutes. Bits and pieces I'm going to throw out at you here at the end of the show. Just as a review, if you've been listening to us for many years, what, 13 now? Yeah. If you've been listening to us for many years, then you may know some of this stuff already. If you are a recently new listener, then thanks, and you might not know all this stuff. Wine Word. Okay. Brettanomyces. This is what's known as spoilage yeast. Is considered a fault in the wine, commonly called Brett for short, B-R-E-T-T. The yeast grows on grapes and winery equipment, such as barrels. Low levels of Brett can add complexity to some wine aromas, while significant amounts give wine a highly unpleasant odor, something like burnt beans, or described quite often as barnyard smell. A wine imbibed with the troublesome yeast seems to get worse as it ages. So if you get a wine that is infected with Brettanomyces, take it back. Don't hesitate. There is no reason to drink a bad wine, and 99.9% of the stores where you got it will exchange or give you your money back. I'm sure there's one or two out there that will battle with you, but they should know better. All right. Let's see. Root Survival? No. Meritage. Meritage. This is M-E-R-I-T-A-G-E. It's not Meritage. It's Meritage, just like heritage. It's a compound of the words merit and heritage. Meritage identifies a red or white wine, usually from America, made with a blend of traditional Bordeaux grape varieties. The trademark term, licensed by the Meritage Alliance, stipulates that no single grape variety may make up more than 90% of the blend. Most wineries who license the term apply it only to their best wines and limit production to no more than 25,000 cases per vintage. Meritage. Meritage used to be real popular about, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. You don't hear too much about it anymore. It is basically a Bordeaux blend. Instead of saying, this is our Bordeaux blend, you can just say this is a Meritage. But because of the Meritage Alliance, I guess maybe there's some stipulation that they can do that. So I don't know. I'm not, like I say, I'm not seeing Meritage anymore out there as much as I used to. Okay. Fermentation equations. Fermentation. Natural culture yeast, stainless steel or oak, malolactic fermentation or not. I mean, it's just, there's all sorts of things on fermentation. I'm not going to get into it because I have covered fermentation in the past quite thoroughly. But this is something that I noticed that was really interesting. Other things that we ferment to make stuff, all right? We always think about grapes when you say you ferment something and make me something to drink, and grapes, you see, is the first thing that comes to mind. But sugarcane molasses is fermented to make rum. Hops, barley, and cereals, say it with me, beer. Potatoes, beets, barley, wheat, or rye, any of those is, again, say it with me, vodka. Rice is made to make sake. And then cereal grains, corn, rye, barley, is fermented to make whiskey. So grape is not the only fermentation process that we use. Old vines. You've seen this probably on Zimmerdale more than anything, especially on Zimmerdale. But they boost saying this is old vine. And it's like, oh, great. I do like old vines. Certain ones are really, very good. But as grapevines become twisted and gnarled in their old age, they also become stingy, bearing less fruit than younger vines. The fruit they do bear, when combined with optimal harvesting and winemaking techniques, can result in compellingly concentrated and intense wines. Yes, I am reading this. While there is no industry standard as to how old the vines must be to qualify as old, many Zinfandel vines have been in the ground at least 50 years and some more than a century. Back before 1900. I like old vine wines. People say it makes no difference. I think it does. I really do. Because old vine doesn't produce as much. But what they do produce to me is of much higher quality. And I've always looked for old wine. Zinfandel is about the only old vine you see now. Most of the others, you don't. The old vine doesn't produce a whole lot of grapes, and so therefore a lot of wineries don't put up with it. If it's not producing, They get them out of the ground and put in something that's going to produce. So that's one of the things that one of the reasons you don't see a lot of old vine. But Zinfandel is usually the most popular, and I do highly recommend it. You can find them just about everywhere. Look on the label, and you can see old vine advertised on a lot of wine bottles. Okay. Oh, that article is for me. That's about cheese. Okay. And let me get this. Oh, that's a test. I'm not going to give you a test because that's a hard test. Okay. Acid in grapes. All grapes have acid. It's, you know, there's just different types of acid. Most distinctive acid in wine is tartaric acid. And it probably is the most important from a winemaking. If you're, the tartaric acid is relatively rare in plants, but grapevines have lots of it. So that's a good thing. And it was discovered that's a good thing. Concentrations can vary depending on the variety of the grape. And so some of them have high acids and some low. And so the acid is responsible for the crystals that appear on some of the wines as they age. It's harmless. Don't have to worry about it. People see the crystals and, you know, and they say, oh, this is from, you see it on the end of the cork when you pull out on older wines. And I like to refer to them as wine diamonds. All they are is tartaric acid, the crystals from the acid. So the next acid, malic acid. Malic acid is tart. Green apple is a good example of malic acid. Too little, which happens in grapes in warmer climates, can make the wine appear overripe or flabby, if you can understand. And too much, usually in cooler climates, a wine can become tart. So a balance needs to be there so that you can get a good good amount of acid, the malic acid. Too much malic acid gives a mouthfeel that's unpleasantly sharp. So you have to watch for that. And winemakers also encourage the development of lactic acid. It's a milder acid that is prevalent in milk products. And this is primarily done through malolactic fermentation. Hence the butteriness that you get in Chardonnays. Hence the milk you find in it. It makes sense now. That's where the malolactic fermentation comes from. It develops the lactic acid, which is found in milk. It gives you the creamy, rich mouthfeel. And acetic acid is also produced during the winemaking process, but it's not stable acid. And sometimes it helps enhance wine's aroma and complexity, but too much speeds a wine's journey into being bad. They use acetic acid to make wine vinegar. Again, quick little lesson on acid. Higher acid grapes, Sangiovese and Pinot Noir. And white Sauvignon Blanc and Riesling. Medium acid grapes, red Cabernet Sauvignon, Malbec, and white Chardonnay, Pinot Gris, or Pinot Grigio. Low acid, red Grenache and Merlot, and white Gewürztraminer and Viognier. So a little lesson on acid in your grapes. Vermouth. I was going to look that up and tell you more about vermouth and that little bit there. Vermouth used to be very popular. Very, very popular. A lot of people love vermouth, but you don't see it so much anymore. Fish tacos. I've never had a fish taco. I don't don't know why. I just never had a fish taco. But I saw this article here, and it says, what to pair with fish tacos? Rieslings from Washington, Sauvignon Blanc from Chile, or if you want to go something a little bit different, go with sparkling wine, like a Spanish cava. So have a wine with a fish taco. I don't know. I think the Sauvignon Blanc from Chile might be interesting. Avoid the Cabernet Sauvignons or Merlots or Barberes or those heavier wines. Those are not wines to have with a fish. Fish taco, not a good thing. Okay. Oops, no, not that. And nope, not that. Or that. Why? Botrytis. Here's another word for you. Botrytis. While it may be devastating to all kinds of plants, from blueberries to flowering annuals, the fungus known as Botrytis cinerea enjoys a warm welcome in some vineyards. I didn't know Botrytis got in on flowering annuals. When cultivated properly, this gray mold makes grapes grow fuzzy and shrivel, which sweetens and intensifies the flavor of the fruit. Purposefully, Botrytis grapes eventually go into rich, luscious dessert wines, such as France's famed Sauternes. In such cases, what a gardener disparages as blight, a wine grower toasts as noble rot. And that's what it's called, noble rot. It is in annuals. I didn't know that. Let's see. I'm going to leave you with something here, my last little thing here. Ice creams translated. And I'll just read you. It says, it pays to develop an ice cream vocabulary before you head over to Italy or Tuscany or anywhere else. The Florentines claim they invented gelato, and some of their frozen treats are all over. But here's some names that you might see on ice cream boxes or packages or something when you're in the store looking up and down the aisles and you're seeing popsicles and things like that. And I've seen some of these names on there. First one, affogato, A-F-F-O-G-A-T-O. This consists of gelato and sorbetto topped with liquid. They include vanilla gelato and with hot espresso and a fruit sorbet. Bonto crowned with a liquor such as grappa. That all sounds good and fun. Gelato. It's an Italian ice cream that's made with less air and so is denser in texture. Sorbetto. Gelato. G-E-L-A-T-O. Sorbetto. S-O-R-B-E-T-T-O. Sorbetto. Italian sorbet, which rarely contains milk and often brings bright, intense fruit flavors. Granita, G-R-A-N-I-T-A, a refreshing concoction made by freezing water, sugar, and a flavoring, such as coffee, fruit juice, or wine. Stirring the mixture at various stages of freezing results in its granular texture. You can do that at home. And semifreddo, S-E-M-I-F-R-E-D-D-O, semifreddo, literally means half cold. This term encompasses a variety of semi-frozen or chilled desserts made with cake, ice cream, and fruit with custard or whipped cream. It can also refer to a semi-frozen ice cream-like creation made with meringue and whipped cream, which keeps the dessert from freezing to a thoroughly solid state. There you go. Lesson on All About Wine tonight on Italian ice cream names.
Sometimes we run the gamut of
yes, we do. Yeah.
Interesting though. In case anyone's traveling and pick up some tips about that as well. So
you see that you see some of those in the store too, or Italian restaurants. I've seen some of that on Italian restaurant menus. So it's
always wonder. And of course, you could ask the wait staff or listen to the show, and you don't have to ask the wait staff. You go in there with so much knowledge that you don't have to ask questions.
And you look like you know, they'll start speaking to you in Italian. And,
true. And then you can give them that puzzled look for some things we don't cover.
Then, that dog tilted head look. You know, go.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, let's see. It is 8:07 p.m. here. Blog Talk Radio. It's about 9 o'clock. And,
Do we have anything coming up this week here?
Holidays?
Any wine holidays? Let's see, today's what, the 15th?
Mm-hmm.
No, the 8th.
No,
8th.
8th. 8th.
Okay. Port Wine Day is coming up Saturday. So go out and have yourself some port. I've got a couple of bottles of strawberry port, which I'm not sharing, but Port Wine Day, Saturday. Sunday, International Grenache Day. It's also Patriot Day, as an aside there, to let you know. And the next Saturday is Grenache Day, which I don't know, third Friday in September or Saturday, or I don't know. But Port Day is coming up Saturday, and International Grenache Day is Sunday. So.
Okay. Well, let's see. All righty. I'm glad we got that update because I have it written down from last week, and I go, no, there's nothing that we talked about last week that would cover this coming weekend. So,
Port Day Saturday. Enjoy a glass of port Saturday.
Absolutely. All righty. I think we're closing the show here at about 8:09, 8:10 p.m. Eastern time, and on September 8th. Thank you all for tuning in, as always, and whether it's live or Memorex, whatever it used to be. But thank you all for tuning in, and we'll talk to you
Memorex.
Next week. Remember that show? Is it live or Memorex?
Yes, you know? I remember.
That was one of the ones, like cassette tape or something.
Yeah, that's why I chuckled. I remember that. I haven't heard that.
They would play some kind of tune or some kind of note, and they would say, is it live or Memorex? And you go, well, it's on my TV. I don't know.
They'd have someone there playing like a cello, and then they have the tape would play the same song, and they say, which is live, you know. Stuff like that.
I forgot
all about that.
The standard. Memorex was a standard.
It was the standard for tapes, too.
Sure.
Recording tapes.
Right. We'll see you all, talk to you all next week. September 15th will be the next show, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to catch us live, we appreciate that. And chat with us as well on those social media outlets that we mentioned. And y'all have a great weekend and a safe week ahead, and we'll talk to you then. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for listening. Be safe.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwine.com. Archive shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine.
Thank
you for listening.
Drink responsibly,
and we'll see you next time
on All About Wine.
All About Wine. I think it's almost time to make a new opening and closing so we don't do that.
Oh. Put another language.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Buenos dias. Yeah.